If you have your Bibles this afternoon, we want to continue where we left off this morning in 2 Thessalonians in the third verse. We're looking at Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica. They're a bit confused over the order of events and things happening and things that Paul has taught them about the second coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the promises that he gave them, the events that are going to be transpiring before it happens. And he is writing to them to just clarify some things. And this afternoon we want to continue to look at this clarification that he gives to them. Chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." This morning I was beginning to lay out exactly what Satan's plan and plot has been since the beginning of his deception that he's brought upon man and seeking to get men to rebel against God. We're living in perilous times, as Paul told Timothy. In the last days there would be perilous times. And Peter also wrote in, if you just turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, Second Peter. Yeah, I was just looking. Second Peter chapter 2. Peter writes about the fact that the church is going to be infiltrated by those that will seek to lead people astray. He says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." And he's speaking false prophets among the Jews. And there are going to be false prophets among the Christians, false teachers rather, among you, "who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth be evil spoken of. And though covetousness shall, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Peter's talking about the very thing that Paul is mentioning, the falling away, the apostasy that is to come. Another place Paul talks about the fact, when he's writing to Timothy, how the people will no longer have a desire for sound doctrine, but they'll want to have their ears itched or tickled. And they'll want, in other words, they'll want to hear what they want to hear. They want to feel good, but they want to hear the truth. Now, as Paul is writing this to the church at Thessalonica, he's telling them that this is what needs to take place. We're seeing, I believe, what's happening is the end-time events are escalating at a tremendous rate in the world in which we live. The rate at which the push for a one-world government and a one-world economy and a one-world religion is going at a faster than it's ever gone before. The UN is pushing for this. The Pope is pushing for this. Some of our own politicians in our country and in Canada are pushing for this as well. And I believe that the Lord has given us a reprieve at the present time with our current president and things that are going on, because he's stepping against this. This afternoon, I just wanted to take a look at a little bit more on how this came about and transpired, what we can look for in happening in the days ahead, and why it would lead to this man of sin coming. The quote that I was looking for that I had in my notes this morning at the end of the message, which I couldn't find, and I didn't really quote it exactly the way I wanted to, but I'll read it. I wrote this from a book that we had gotten when we were homeschooling our girls a number of years ago. in one of the articles within that book, it said, without God, man has existence but no meaning. In a godless universe, the only thing left is a desire for power. And if you stop and think about that and look at what's happening in our world, that's exactly what you see. Throughout history, there's always been times where Satan has raised up people in total rebellion against God that have come against God's people and against that which God loves. We know that one of the last major times was in not Germany in World War II. A lot of people don't talk about Russia, but Russia was killed a number of Jews as well, Stalin's Russia, which happened right after World War II. But people forget about that. If you look at these people, they all hated God. Hitler hated the Lord. As a matter of fact, Hitler was involved in the occult, and his SS troops, they were deeply involved in the occult and in seeking direction from demons on how they should direct their war effort and what they should do in the final solution and the things they did with the gas chambers. We know that Hitler met with his SS leaders and some of his generals, and they would meet for occultic retreats, literally seeking direction from Satan and the demons. Stalin hated God as well. And if you look at communism, the whole foundation of communism and socialism is based on a premise that there is no God and that man is the ultimate. Now, as looking at what we were talking, I talked about how that came into the U.S. education system earlier this morning, but I want you to see that what has happened in our country is that there has been a real push through the promotion of anti-God philosophies, which are really from the pit of hell. For example, evolution. Evolution denies God as creator, denies the existence of God, denies truth, denies all of this, and basically makes man the epitome, and that man is God. Evolution is the foundation for many of the false religions in the world. And if you look at what Satan has done, he's orchestrated and weaved together these various false religions. And if you look at the fact that they're all really related with one another, because he's been the one that's been behind, the force behind false religion, because what it does is it turns men further and further away from the Lord. One of the fruits of his promotion of evolution has been secular humanism. And secular humanism has replaced Christianity in the public schools today. And at the foundation of secular humanism, again, is the concept that man is God. And you will find this same thought in psychology, which is another thing that's being promoted in our culture today. And all of these things push people away from God and turn people away from the Lord. There are secular humanists, or those people that believe that man is the ultimate, have written two manifestos. The first was a Humanist Manifesto number 1, written in 1933. The people that put this together, it's a statement of what they believe and what they want to promote on the world. And this was in large part put together by liberal theologians and college professors. And they were the main ones that signed Humanist Manifesto number 1. And if you look at what that has done within American culture, go to college campuses today and you will see that the majority of college campuses are very, very ardent against biblical Christianity, creationism, anything that would point people to God. Also, you see what's happened through liberal theologians is that this came into the church. It came into the mainline churches first, this anti-God philosophy. And it's hard to believe that anti-God philosophies would come into the church, but that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. a apostasy that would come in to those that said they were Christians. Today you have mainline churches that have gone way down the road of not believing in the Bible, to the point that they would promote evolution, they promote homosexuality, they promote the fact that there's not an accountability to the Lord, they promote values clarification, situational ethics, the whole gamut of what human secularism would promote, and that's being promoted in mainline churches and most of them today. But it didn't stop there. Today it's slipping over into the evangelical churches. A number of years ago, Roberta and I, when we were attending the North American Baptist Church in West Fargo, there was a North American Baptist College puts out a magazine. They were anyway, I don't know if they still are, but it was called The Ambassador, and it was put out monthly. And a lot of times articles were written in there by college professors and the theologians down at the conferences, Bible schools, and their seminary. One of the main professors at the seminary wrote an article in there, and it called A New Evangelism for the New Age. And this whole evangelism was an attack on the Bible. It was saying that you can't go back and preach the gospel the way it used to be preached, because you need to make, and he used all kinds of New Age buzzwords, like you need to be a mega trend and a quantum leap and a turn and a twist from the old to this new. That was written back in the early 80s. That man has since died, but his philosophies have gone on. And today, you're seeing that in not only North American Baptist churches, but many Baptist seminaries and other seminaries around the country, the Bible is being put on the back shelf. At the same time he was teaching that, the seminary in Sioux Falls introduced a counseling program, and it was based upon psychology. It was psychological counseling that was introduced to the Baptist seminary. And the reason they did that is they said, well, pastors really need to have psychological tools to be able to counsel people, so they need to take these counseling classes. Well, if you look at the Bible says that it's got all the answers that we need for the morals of our life, the things that we're troubled with. It gives us answers and solutions for relationships, and it's the Word of God. And counseling needs to be done out of the Bible, not out of secular humanism, which psychology is grounded in. So we see that this is some of the things that were happening. But then in 1973, there was a second humanist manifesto, and it's interesting who wrote this one. This one was written by psychiatrists and psychologists. It was written by a man by the name of Julian Huxley, who was one of the main promoters of anti-God philosophies. He was a philosopher and a college professor from England. Betty Friedan, many of you may have known her name. She was the woman who started the Now movement, or the women's rights and the feminist movement in America. She is one of the ones who wrote and promoted the Humanist Manifesto too. Francis Crick, who was a social engineer, who felt that you needed to structure and manipulate people through social engineering. And then there's Isaac Asimov, who you probably have heard. He was a man who was an evolutionist and a scientist. And these were some of the people that did Humanist Manifesto number 2. If you look at these people and the influence they've had on American culture, it's tremendous. Today, the structure and order within the family has been turned upside down, and much of it is done by the writings and philosophies that these people permeated. And then you also see that, for example, Betty Friedan really promoted women's liberation, and was the start of that. And really what it is not women to be equal with men, but women to be superior to men, and to really remove men from the scene. And that is, you see that in our culture as well. All of these things come directly against the Bible. Now, the sad thing is, these things are infiltrating the evangelical churches today. And it's manifesting itself in apostasy as these things rear their heads. And we see here that what happens is that the churches no longer are grounded, oftentimes, in absolute truth of God's Word. Today, there's an emergent church movement, and this is the child of all of these ungodly philosophies that are out in the world system, which the church has embraced and brought in. Men who had degrees in theology, like Brian McLaren and others, brought into the church the emergent church movement. Now, with the emergent church movement, you no longer stand and preach the Bible. We no longer go verse by verse, like we're looking here at where apostasy, and as Paul's talking to them about apostasy and a falling away. They wouldn't talk about that. They say, well, you can't talk about that. Instead, what you need to do is we need to sit around, and it almost becomes a Hinduized version of church. You sit around and you go into altered states and you wait for emotional experiences and you wait for God to direct you through experience and not His Word. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we're to sit around and wait for some type of an emotional response to come on us to direct our lives and tell us what we're to believe about God. And that God doesn't come to us that way, but He comes to us through His Word. It says that His Word was given to us so that we could know who He is. He revealed Himself to us through His Word. He tells us to come, reason together, and it's in His Word. And so there's solid ground, there's truth. He reveals Himself to us, and He shows us what He desires to reveal of Himself in His Word, not through some mystical experience. Well, the emergent church is all mystical experiences. Also, one of the people had mentioned that I was talking to this morning that